Primetime. Sorry for skipping a couple of weeks. I've got a lot going on. You can ask questions about it if you want. But we're going to go ahead and get started with the questions. Comfort user says, what's the current activity of your canine companion? They're asleep on the couch. They're like looking at me. They've fallen asleep looking at me, which sometimes happens. It's sort of like, I don't know. The lights are on, but no one's home. And so their eyes are like half open, but no one's home. Next up is another question from Comfort user who says, once a week, I think on Thursdays, I forgot, I see the team members in a session labeled Resonate Team Workshop. Last I remember, these workshops are public sessions. Is that intentional? And if so, how disruptive would it be for non-team members to join? That's the Resonate like general team meeting, which we do inside Resonate on Thursdays. You usually can't join unless the world is open. If the world is open, feel free to join. If you turn up, and it's our fault. We do sometimes at the end of meetings open up so people can come in and say hi. Lots of people, usually me, are gone by then, but be seeing. Moving forwards, we've got a question from Revy who says, what have you been busy with? Yeah, so I had like a bunch of sort of like apartment residence, place to live, like things to solve, and they were like real stressful. So I was like focusing on those. So first it was a decision to stay in the Seattle area, which was like, yep, okay, still area. And then secondarily it was like, hey, do I want to renew this apartment or do I want to look around elsewhere? And I was trying to save some money. Good to save money. And so I was like looking around elsewhere, and it was basically like, for a cheaper price, I will get a shithole or a bad place or kind of exactly the same, but in a worse location. And for like, you know, a sliding scale up towards the actual rental renewal, it's like, hey, if I move, like I only save like $1,000 a year if I move. And I'm just like, that's not enough. So I'm probably going to renew this place for the increased rent price, but it's very important to do the due diligence. I think I got up to like 72 properties researched or something, and I'm just like, yeah, no, the scale's a bit... Ideally, I actually want to go up a little bit. If I want to stay in the Seattle area, I need to go up on rent even more and then move into a house away from apartment land. For that, I'd probably need a car, though. So this next year, when I renew the lease, I'm going to try and focus on getting a driving license sorted. It shouldn't be too difficult. I have a UK driving license, but I haven't driven in 5 years. So I just need to, I don't know, play a driving school or something just to like have a couple of like pointers for the American side of things. And then even then I would avoid like any, like, I don't want to like drive if I'm stressed, if that makes sense. It'll be like, hey, I'm going to drive to the grocery store or like to take the dog to an appointment or to go to an appointment myself. I'm not going to like business drive, city drive, or like interstate. No, never. I don't like driving. So yeah, that was like a huge amount of stress. I actually went and looked at a bunch of places. For those who know the sort of terminology of the Seattle area, there is the east side, which is anything that's sort of past the lake in the middle. West side, which actually contains Seattle. Anything on the west side is just like loud, higher crime, and usually has a homeless encampment outside of it, in places that I've looked at. Those are like similar to this place where it's like very warm, which is what I need because I can't drive. Essentially, this place is actually reasonably priced. I just needed to, you know, double check that I had the money to afford to do it. Comp user asks, how are things going in the business obelisk? A little bit of a patchy area currently. We're dealing with a security ticket. We suddenly... I don't know if it like suddenly is like the right word, but like we brought the whole concept of LNL traffic to the network admin, network security people's attention. And they were like, oh yeah, okay, so that's going to need a public IP to the Azure machine. I'm like, yep, it's going to public IP to the Azure machine. And they're like, what type of traffic is this? Sort of UDP. And they're like, oh, because like they're not used to this. So then they go like, well, how is that encrypted? I'm like, well, session traffic isn't encrypted at the moment. And they're like, so it's going to be like, I don't know, some sort of weird VPN setup. They'll let it in from the public internet, or they will require us to add encrypting session traffic. If they require that, they'll have to pay for that as a feature. And that'll be the next sort of, I would presume, maximum of a month of someone's time. It might be like smaller than that, but it is encryption. You want to make sure you do it. So yeah, that'll be if that happens. I don't know. And until there's a clear signal from them, I can't make a decision. Revy says, will that trickle down to us? Yes. It might actually not even be built entirely in Resonate. like there's some primitives in the LLL library to deal with encryption. I haven't even looked at, right? Because looking and researching is part of the thing that I would charge them for. But it, you know, it might be in there. I don't even want to say the word key, because like basically I never want to talk about cryptography like live. I always want to like be like a blog post or like a message that I can edit. And so I'm just going to use like hand wavy terminologies for the next like little bit, right? I don't know what format the key exchange would take, but it would probably be similar to the key exchange that sort of already occurs, so that you can gain access to bands and avatars and stuff like that. But then that key would be handed to LNL, and then LNL might actually do the encryption. So that might lead to changes in the LNL library, where it's like, here's how you can do like some sort of wizardry encryption, and like here's an entry point where you put in the like hand wavy key, and you know, that's the bit that resonates. It depends. We might want to do it at a higher layer than LNL. And what that would mean is that like LNL doesn't know that it's encrypted, but we know it's encrypted. And that way it would also get the same encryption, like completely identical encryption, over any other protocol that we were to do. But like, I don't know. And until they agree to pay for it, like thinking about it too much is like a waste of time. And the moment they do agree to pay with it, it's like, okay, hi Fruks, what do you think? There's very clearly a thing where I think Fruks will have clear, probably better opinions than mine to start with. I'll start with whatever they have a thought, and then go do some research and figure it out. Throw a couple of bucks into the pool for more transport encryption, says Qualia. Oh, we don't do like funded features. It would be like a mess. It'd be like, hey, you could put money against the features you actually want. And everyone's like, custom shaders, Pyomi. There is now $1 million for custom shaders and Pyomi. Moving forwards, Qualia says, good morning, kind of a question. I've been using JFOR's headless Prometheus exporter mod. That's a mouthful. JFOR's headless Prometheus exporter mod. Okay, I understand. I just had to, like, my brain, like, had to read that, understand it, and then actually find what that meant. A bunch to gather stats on running sessions, and I'm currently curious where I can find more information on some of the network message sync metrics that are extracted for purposes of documenting what they signify. Some of that stand out are world.session.sync.totalcorrections and the swath of world.session.messages.incoming.outgoing.totalreceived.confirmations.controlled.deltas.fulls.streams metric. I don't know. I can guess, but I would have to double check. Fruks would know them probably better than I would at this point. You can totally, like, you know, decompile and futz around and probably find those. I can give you like general hand waviness over some of them. So controls would be a control message. Control message doesn't contain data. It's like data about the data or instructions on how to do stuff. Fulls are when we have to do like I think it's like we have to do like a full sync of something. I'm not sure if it's like just a session. It might be like a particular slot or something, but like it means like, you know, the full data of everything. Streams are what audio goes over. And like controller positions and stuff, I think. Deltas are like change sets. So it's like take this property wherever it exists and update it to this, right? So it's not like a full collection of all the information. It's just like this particular part has been changed, a diff. Confirmations would be like, I have done this. I have, you know, this has happened, stuff like that. That's it, really. Basically, what the whole sync system is trying to do is it's trying to reach consensus, and all of those messages around are basically like various ways of saying, like, is this bit right? Is this bit okay? I need to change this bit. Could you change this bit? And I'll change this bit. And there are various types of that, depending on if you're the host or... It's actually a fascinating computer science problem for like other systems and stuff like that, particularly when you need to swap who's like the main or master. Because I'm a nerd and I have a particular algorithm that comes to mind, here's the Raft consensus algorithm, which is how you do a sort of multi-master consensus thing. So trying to remember what part of Mixer. It was either our live update, so like our WebSocket feed, or chat used a Raft. I know about it. You also might know of etcd, which, like, to this day, I still don't quite understand, even though I've, like, used it and, like, written code against it and stuff like that. It's like a database. but it's not. But it is, but it's not. Here we go. From the FAQ. What is ETCD? ETCD is a consistent distributed key value store, mainly used as a separate coordination service in distributed systems and designed to hold small amounts of data that can fit entirely in memory. So you can put things like configuration or like other stuff like that in it. Turns out it also uses Raft. That's probably why I knew about it. If you want a Resonite style terminology, you can think of ETCD, the server at least, as the sort of a dynamic value variable, the dynamic value space, the variable space. So all your variables are registered in place and interacted through the dynamic variable space. Not a complete analogy, but an analogy nonetheless. Where were we in question? Revis says, what are some use cases these businesses have and who's your largest client? Can't answer questions about individual clients until we've had a conversation about whether I can or not. I don't know. And so out of respect for the client relationship, I don't. As for the use cases, training, demonstration, visualizations, occasionally meetings, inspections, did I say training, that sort of thing. So we, I'll give you like a fully worked example. I say this a lot because I hope at some point I can, you know, get it on the marketing team or content team's calendar to make this into a video. So just imagine, right? Set the stage. Hypey corporate buzzword music, right? You know, elevator music, right? And it's just like, Paul, an employee at blah blah corp, receives an email at their desk, you know, like, doo-doo-doo. Paul, you need to do electrical safety 101 training. Head to the VR lab to do electrical safety 101 training. And then he like gets up from his chair with like the elevator music keep going. And then it cuts to the VR lab. And it's just like, here at the VR lab, an assistant will help you into your headset. And like they put on their headset. And then we transition into VR. And it goes, welcome to training whiz before Corpo what? In collaboration with Yellow Dogman Studios and Resonite, or like powered by Resonite, whatever. And then he goes like into like his home world, right? And then he logs in with his corporate account, his like Azure Active Directory account, or his like, you know, like corporate credentials. Maybe if they're even snazzy, he just like slots his badge into one of those like badge readers that's attached to the computer, and we just do it automatically for him. That'd be like real sci-fi. And it loads him into his personalized cloud home for the corporate verse, and that pops in another notification. It goes like, hi Paul, we guess you're here to do electrical safety 101, is that right? And he goes, you betcha. And then electrical safety 101 loads. He does the sort of like training in a virtual environment about how not to die or get electrocuted. You can imagine what that would look like. And at the end of it, it goes like, well done Paul, you did a great job at electrical safety 101. Press here to complete your training. And it hits like, okay. It fades him back to his cloud home. And it goes like, Paul, you've got no more training modules due. You do have a meeting in a couple of minutes, though. Best get back to your desk. The assistant will help you out of VR, right? And then the assistant helps him out of VR, puts the headset back, probably cleans it. He leaves the VR lab, goes back to his desk, and carries on with his day. And here's the key part that I forgot. His manager gets an email. Paul has completed his required training, Electrical Safety 101. Three of your employees still haven't completed the fucking training. Would you like to send them an email reminder? So then the idea behind doing that would be, what we can actually start to do is we can both charge for the operating costs of that infrastructure. So that would be the sort of Resonite cloud that I've been working on, and the account system tying in with their account system. And you know, all that sort of security, etc., running within their own infrastructure. We can charge for that. We can charge a license fee. We can charge support fees. We can charge update fees, custom feature fees if they want, you know, stuff added. But as a separate revenue stream, we can also charge for creating training modules. Like, they should be able to create their own. That's part of Resonite. But they should be able to go like, hey, we've got a tight deadline. We need electrical safety 102 done. Can we contract with you to do it? And we go, absolutely, here's some money. Now, also remember that because we have multiplayer, there's the sort of possibility where the training can be observed as well, to, you know, make sure that you do it, but it could also be collaborative training with like collaborative goals and even collaborative learning. There's the old sort of idiom that's used in medical education a lot, which is like see. No, no, it's like I can't remember the exact phrasing, but it's like you see one, you observe one, you do one, you teach one. There we go. And that's to like sort of explain the sort of expansion of knowledge within a medical learning hospital. But that could apply to these training modules as well. If you want to get real crazy, you get a truck. These already exist, right? We could buy one off the shelf. You get a truck, you fill it with headsets, and then it drives around to the company's various like locations, and it says like, hey, the VR lab truck is here. If you want to do electrical safety 101 in VR, the truck's in the parking lot. And once we've got that truck as a product, we can then start like maybe a school one. We park the VR truck at an elementary school, and kids get like a day of VR education, human body science, the Romans, whatever. Revy says Vruk, VR truck. I'm going to move on to additional questions now. I hope that like the blue sky of that like business model, I hope that like makes sense. A comp user says, could it technically be possible for the PBS shader consolidation GitHub issue to be solved by the community since the shaders are now open source? No. However, you have to like be literal when it comes to the question, right? Your question was, could it technically be possible? Yes, but we do not accept issues or PRs in this report. Qualia says, have any business clients done anything with or taken interest in Resonite Link for integrations? Not that I remember, but they certainly have asked about similar things that before Resonite Link existed. So things like OSC or even just like WebSockets and stuff like that. So a good example there for like OSC and maybe even Resonite Link, there's a program called LabVIEW. LabVIEW, it's used a lot in scientific research. And it just natively supports OSC. And so you can stream data in and out of LabVIEW. And LabVIEW is like really good for like really complicated mathematical analysis of data, particularly data on like a chart, like a plot over time. And so your problem with OSC goes from, well, I don't want to like, you know, write JSON or pass it in and out via WebSocket. It goes to OSC where it's like, okay, now it's a stream of numbers, to Resonite Link where it's like, okay, now LabVIEW, which is, you know, very structured, very sort of like, here's a case, here's a, you know, save, setup, etc. It could be when I load this LabVIEW sketch and Resonite Link is connected, spawn these items in the world, configure them this way. And then what they've got is like, basically a whiteboard, which is Resonite, and LabVIEW does all the work, and it can make sure that the Resonite world is set up exactly how the LabVIEW experiment is needed. Quali says, when will I be able to send and receive emails from within Resonite? We would probably do that as the sort of like Resonite is an operating system thing, where it's like, you know, apps can run within there, however that would end up working. At the very least, you'd be able to sort of, you know, view it via screen sharing or screen doobly-doos, a bit like, what's it called? OVR Toolkit, or whatever the new one is that everyone uses. Like, just forgot the name of, like, just this moment. I want to say XSplit, but that's the, like, the streaming software. XS Overlay? XS Overlays. Goldie missed the conversation on encryption. Well, you'll have to listen to the recording, which I keep forgetting to publish. I know, like, I'm trying to do a lot here. I don't want to go back over it. Do we have any additional questions? Goldie says, should I remind you to publish the recordings in 2 hours? No. I need to install Node.js on this computer, and then I can. But I've got a business deliverable that some clients are waiting on for like this week that I'm working on. It looks like I'm good, but I don't know if I'm good. It's that sort of like part of doing something where you're like, I think everything's okay, but I'm not entirely sure. So you have to do that due diligence and you know, do a bit more testing. But once that's done, I've got like a free shot, so I can actually like look at like what I need to do, which is probably more business stuff, right? But like, got to get that first time. Well, this has done anything fun? No, not really. How's something stressful, man? Particularly when like you're you know, trying to save money and not. I think I posted it in off topic. I won't be able to find it quickly. Maybe I'll post it later. But lots of these apartment units have got like video tours. And there was this one where it was like, here's a video tour of this apartment. And I had the YouTube volume at max, and oh my god, it was like the loudest mess ever of just like a bunch of traffic noise. But they were like going on with the video tour like it was normal, and like it made me like hyperventilate. And I was just like, okay, no, can't live in Seattle. So it's just like, fuck. I think I could find. Yeah, got it. Here it is. And again, warning, loud. They're like, hey, you can live in this apartment. I'm like, no. Why would you ever? No. That particular apartment is in one of those like giant mega complexes, which I also live in right now. But I another reason for staying here was I never want to live in one of those again. And so when I was looking at more of those, I was like, no, I can't move from this mega complex to another mega complex. I can't do it. So it then turned into like, stay in this mega complex or try and find a house. And all the houses in this area are out of budget. So, and then it turned into like, hey, stay in this area or like move areas. And it was just too much, too scared, too angry. Yeah, it's so spency. I was looking at like Tennessee the other day. It's like real cheap out there. I was looking at the UK again, then Tennessee and the UK and then Texas. And then someone like, I should do Portugal. I'm not doing bloody Portugal. Apparently there's some like great tax breaks work the US in Portugal or something. I don't know. Any additional questions or should we close out here? Let me see. We had that one about, which will be on the recording. It's about LabVIEW. I think we're done. I'm going to go ahead and leave off here soon.